passage, and it's Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And I think that this should be one of those that we put up there with John 3:16. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. We should have it up there with do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. We'd put it up there with love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. It should be right up there as the next thing that all Christians know and all Christians repeat and all Christians meditate on in the middle of the night. Yeah, honestly, yeah. We should be doing it. Yeah. It sums it up, our responsibility. Micah 6, verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Yes. Do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. And today, I want to try to answer essentially two main questions. What is it to walk humbly? And how can we do it? Okay. What is it? How can we do it? And we start with what it isn't. Because there's such a thing as false humility as well as true humility. There's being humble, and then there's being grovelling, having no self-esteem, etc. Okay? We've heard people sing or whatever, or play the piano so beautifully and minister, and you know the old story. That was fantastic, you know, really enjoyed it. Oh, it wasn't me, it was the Lord. To which there's a couple of answers. The first one is, well, I did see your fingers move. You know, it's one thing. And then the other one, of course, is, it wasn't that good. When we're praised for doing something well, let's just say, thank you. It was a pleasure to do it. You know, not this sort of false humility, or it wasn't me, etc. So not valuing yourself, that's not humility. No. Not seeing that you matter, that's not humility. Seeing yourself as worthless, that's not humility. That's not humility. And it can even take a spiritual form, this thing. We can disguise it in a spiritual form. I know that no good thing dwells within me. You know, it says in Romans 7:18. And we can say, there's no good in me at all. Well, there is. There is good in us. We're made by God. We're made by God. There's a book that was very popular in the 70s, and I'm going to read it. Just ordered it. Mr. God, this is Anna. Anyone remember that? Yes. Who read that one? Yes. You know, the little girl, like a little 5-6 year old over the next few years, and she's wise beyond her years and expresses in simple terms deep, deep truths about God. And she said, God made me, and God don't make rubbish, or God don't make muck. You know, that's a profound truth. God does not make rubbish. What God makes is good. Yeah, what God makes is good. And the psalmist puts it the same thought as little Anna. He puts it, you know, in a more grown-up way. And he says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, I've been knit together in my mother's womb. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God doesn't make muck. He doesn't make rubbish. We are valuable and precious. And humility is not saying I'm nothing. When I was a few months saved, 3 months saved, something like that, I can remember one particular time I was praying, and I hadn't got this sorted. And I can remember the prayer went along some lines like, it went along the lines like, Lord, I'm nothing. Lord, I can't remember some of the words, but I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other, I'm just dung in your sight, you know, like grovelling down. And there's some truth in that. And I heard, as I've never heard since, in this unmistakable word way, a single word, clay. That wasn't my word and all the rest of it. I've heard words whispered in my heart since. I've heard the Lord in other ways, but never as unmistakable as that, clay. I've not heard another word since in 40 years. The Lord's given me time to think about this one. But it means so much. Don't call yourself nothing. Don't call yourself dung or, you know, a foul non-entity. You are clay. And I am the potter. And I am shaping you into something as I choose, the way I want to do it, and I'm going to fill you with spiritual treasure, then you're going to be a blessing.
Amen.
You know, and that's true. What's true for me is true for you. We are clay. He's the potter. We're precious, precious, precious in God's sight. God doesn't make rubbish. So that's not what it is, seeing ourselves as nothing. And it's very, very simple. It's humility. It means being low. And it's low, being low, not exalted and puffed up, and etc. And it's actually just facing facts. That's all it is. It's just facing reality. It's no more than that. It's not pretending to be lower than we are or higher than we are. It's just facing actual facts. I'm amazed that since the 20th century that the whole world hasn't become more humble. Because every time I travel in an aeroplane and I look down and we get higher and higher and I see the M25 or whatever it is or some sort of freeway in Los Angeles, and I look down and the people down there in their cars are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And they're just dots, and every single one of them has got passions and ambitions and plans and family and concerns and hang-ups, and yet they're so tiny. We are so small in the scale of things. Why on earth do we think that we are? And yet we're not saying that we're not important, but it just gives that sense of where we fit in. God is so much greater than we are, you know, and every time that happens, it reminds me of it. We're told not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought, Romans 12 verse 3, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to do. But we know we didn't make ourselves. We couldn't live a second without God. If God decided it's the breath of life that I breathed into you, it's time for it to come back. We're gone. We can't keep ourselves going for a second without Him. We, you know, as we're going to hear, we're the branches, but He's the vine. We can't live without Him.
Yes.
We're derived beings. We haven't got the source of life within ourselves. Yeah? He's the potter. We are the clay. There are many, many people better than us at all sorts of things. And there are some that are worse. We just fit in there somewhere. It doesn't mean, the fact that we're so small doesn't mean that we're nothing. Doesn't mean that we're nothing. We're valuable. And in fact, David's brothers thought that he was proud when he came, left the sheep. He was outraged at the insult to Israel that Goliath presented with the Philistines. He was outraged. He felt aggrieved that nobody was that Israel was being. And he came and he wanted to do something about it. Who do you think you are? You know, you arrogant thing. They thought that he was arrogant. They mistook. We can be humble, and we can also have confidence. Yes. We can have confidence in what God can do. Yeah. There's no knowing what God can do with us because we are clay. There's no knowing what he might do. There's no knowing how many he might bring to himself through us. What changes we might make to our neighbours, to our society. What evils we might be. God might use us to destroy. Christ came for this purpose, to destroy the works of the evil one, and he carries on doing it through us. There's no knowing what he might do. So being humble is not being nothing. It's not being useless. You can be humble, but you can also know that with God, we can do all things. All things can take place. Why does God want us to be humble? Why does he want us to be humble? You know, other than it's facing reality. Well, pride is the opposite of humility. It's a pretty unattractive quality. You know, it's really unattractive when we see it in other people, and it's pretty unattractive when they see it in us. It's not pleasant at all. Somebody that's proud, you can't teach them anything. You can't teach them anything. They already know it, or they think they do. You can't guide them because their way is better. You know, they won't listen. They won't receive correction. They look down on you. They think, you know, they treat you like a piece of dirt. They're always talking about themselves and what they've done. Or on another form of it, what their family have done. It's just it can be another form of it. They won't let you talk about yourself. There's got to be. They always know it. They're always giving their opinions. Too much. You know, we can have opinions, but it's an unattractive quality. It's really unattractive, and God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James says, and Peter says, and the Psalm says, and the Proverbs say, it comes before a fall. Yeah? I've always remembered it the wrong way around. Pride becomes before a fall. It's not that way. It's pride becomes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Okay? It's unattractive. It's fatal. God opposes it. It says, write one of those hallmark moments, the Song of Mary. The Song of Mary, when Jesus came into the world. She was able to perceive what God was doing, why he'd come into the world. He scatters the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He lifts up those of low estate. God doesn't like pride. It's wrong. It's opposed to all that he is. Three times it's recorded in the Gospels, Jesus says that the man, the woman who exalts himself will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be lifted up. And does anyone remember any of those occasions where that is attached to an incident or a parable?
Wedding banquet.
Yes. Yeah. Do you remember those people? They came to the wedding banquet, sat at the top table. I think I belong there. and they Jesus said, "Don't do that. Take the lowest seat, because if you push yourself forward, you may very well be absolutely humiliated." Sorry, sir, that's not for you. Get down there. He says, don't do it. Take a lower table. Wait, let others lift you up and in due time. So that was one occasion. And then another occasion, anyone else? There's one that Dan spoke about last time when he was speaking about the crying out for mercy. And that the Pharisee said, I'm, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like him, you know, and all the rest of it. I fast three times a week and all the rest of it. And Jesus, at the end of that, it was the other one. It was the one that said, have mercy on me, a sinner. I'm not what I ought to be. I know I'm not. He's the one that's right. And that exalts himself will be humbled. The one who humbles himself will be exalted. And the third time he said it was a similar occasion. He says, don't be like those Pharisees. They like to be greeted with titles. They like to be respected, called this, that, and the other. Don't be like them. If you exalt yourself, you'll be humbled. If you humble yourself, in due time, you'll be exalted. Okay, so that's why God wants us to be humble. One of the most, perhaps in parts, the most theological of all Shakespeare's plays is Measure for Measure. I think its title comes from the Bible. It's so biblical, such a theological play. You know, the measure you give is the measure that you'll receive. That's where the title comes from. Do not judge, lest you be judged for the measure. It's about not judging. And the chap there, who power goes absolutely to his head, and he turns into a monster, you know, really, an absolute abuser of power. And a young lady opposes him and tries to reason with him. She says, God's not like that. God is not like you are. God does not exert his power so cruelly and so rigidly. God has mercy. And she says these wonderful words, but she says, by contrast, man, proud man, dressed in a little brief authority. A little brief authority. It is the chain of office, the suit and tie, whatever the stripes on the arm, whatever the little, you know, whatever the insignia of authority is, it's little and it's brief and we can't hold on to it. Eventually it's taken off us and we become a child again. We can't live in our pomp. She says, the same lady, she says, dressed in a little brief authority, she says that like an angry ape plays such fantastic tricks before high heaven as makes the angels weep. You know, we so abuse our authority in our pride, we make the angels weep. So wise. You know, so wise. God opposes pride because it's right at the heart of sin, that independence, the I can do it, the don't you know who I am? It's right the opposite of all that he is. So, what is pride to? What is humility rather to? It's an attribute of God. It's an attribute of God. Do you remember we said in the first one, why are we to do justice? Because God does it. Why are we to do mishpat, those acts, the looking after the widow and the orphan and the refugee? Because that's what God does. We do it because God does it. It's his nature. Why are we to be merciful? Because God has mercy. And here's the amazing thing. God is humble. God is humble. God is humble. We know that Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and that showed humility. That was something, that was making himself a servant. But it was not a show. It was not like a one-off. It wasn't a token. It wasn't just I'll do this and then I'll go back to being, you know, worship me and you know, whatever, serve me, bring me grapes or anything like that. And it wasn't like that.
Yeah.
That was part of who he is. Mm-hmm. The Son of Man came to serve.
Yes.
Came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He came to serve. The whole of his life was service. And in fact, it's deeper than that. It's much, much deeper than that. The emptying himself of Godhead. That's what he is eternally. He's eternally the servant king. We sometimes sing, don't we, that wonderful, beautiful song. Wise song. He is the servant king. If we were able to see heaven today, we would see there a lamb who was slain. We'd see a lamb who standing as though slain. He's still alive. He's on the throne with his Father. He still has the marks of the servanthood. He's servant-hearted. He's humble in his very nature. And he says, wonderful thing, that almost unbelievable that this God who is a king, who is the splendor of the king, he's strong, you know, he's majestic. But he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. For I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest. You'll find ease. My yoke is easy and light. I'm gentle and humble of heart. Why does God want us to be humble? Because he is humble. He's humble and gentle always. Now his other things, he's strong, he's wise, and but he's humble in his very, very nature. So, that's what humility isn't, that's what humility is, that's why God wants us to be humble. How can we do it? In fact, first of all, can we be humble? He's shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to love justice, no, to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Well, if God says he requires it, then of course we can do it. Of course it can be done. But it sometimes has tangled me up, you know, this idea. Well, if I make myself humble, won't I become proud of of having achieved humility? In fact, can I achieve humility in my own strength? Well, of course, the answer to that is no. But we are not in our own strength. You know, the flesh is of no use at all. Without me, you can do nothing. We know that. But we're not without him. We're not in the flesh. We are in the Spirit. We are in the Spirit. The Spirit lives within us. We live within God. We're in him. We live and move and have our being. We're wrapped around with him. He's inside us. He's outside us. He's the vine. We're the branches. His life is flowing through us all the time. By the Spirit, we can put to death the works of the flesh. And by the Spirit, we can grow in humility. We can humble ourselves. It says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. James and Peter say it. Humble yourselves. It doesn't say that God will humble you. It says, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. He will lift you up. And it comes in the same context. Here's Colossians 3:12. It says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, and forgive. And it says in the same, goes on to say, forgive one another as Christ has forgiven you. Now, would you expect God to do the forgiving? No, we have to do it, don't we? Only we can forgive. You know, we have to do the forgiving. and we have to do the clothing. God will help us by the Spirit, but it won't happen without our say-so. It won't happen without our say-so. We have to do it. You know, so how do we walk humbly with our God? With our God. I think that's the key, isn't it? We can't walk humbly without him. We need his help to do it, but the help's there. The help is there. He will help us walk with him. We are not without him. With him all things are possible. And I've got some extra good news. For those of you who sort of somehow doubt, I'm not sure whether I can humble myself. I think my pride is, might be a bit too much. Honestly, I've felt that. I have felt that in the past. I've thought, I don't know if I can humble myself. I don't know if it's possible. This pride is, it's got tentacles into me at, you know, at every level. It's horrible. Well, even Nebuchadnezzar praised God after like a terrible experience, and he said, God is able to abase the proud. So if you think, if you've got some sort of concerns that you might not be able to abase yourself, to humble yourself, don't worry. God will lend you a hand. Honestly, and I think I've heard it said, and that's much of what life is about. That's much of what our life is about. That's much of what the life experiences are about. The things that happen to us, the many failures, the many so-called failures, the many things that go wrong, much of that is about God humbles us for our own good. Yes. And let's not, you know, let's welcome it. It's not pleasant, but it's necessary. You know, it's necessary. God is able to abase the proud. God will help. So, practically, what can we do? What can we actually do to humble ourselves? What we can determine, for instance, with other people, let's stop judging other people, acting like we're above them. Let's stop criticising. You know, let's rein that in. Let's become interested in other people. Let's find out about them. You know, let's be curious about them. Let's see what we can. Let's take an interest in people other than ourselves. Let's take an interest, especially perhaps, in people who can't do anything for us, benefit us in any way. Let's just be interested in other people. Let's seek out people who have got those qualities that we haven't got. Because we haven't got it all, have we? We haven't got anything like it all. Together we've got a lot. Let's look out for those people who've got patience or hospitality or self-control. Let's stick around them and learn from them and see, what can I learn from you? How can I want something of that. And let's seek out. Let's esteem others. Yes. Yeah? It says that we're to think of others as better than ourselves. How can we do that? How can we honestly do that? And I remember somebody saying, well, hang on a minute, you think of all the advantages that you've had. Have they had the advantages you've had, whatever they might be? Could be your upbringing, your education, could be all sorts of privilege, could be the kind of, you know, you think of how we've got to where we are in whatever we've done. You know, even here, we aren't here by ourselves. Somebody taught us, somebody counselled us, someone's listened to us, someone's prayed for us, someone's wept over us, somebody's probably gone out of their way to help us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We we've needed one another to get to where we are. You know, other people might not have had, haven't had, some of the advantages we've had, that they are better than us in, you know, think of what we've had. We could have done so much more, couldn't we? We could all have done so much more with what we've been given. Spurgeon says, if you and I empty ourselves, depend on it, God will fill us. Well, I like that. So, we do justice because God is just. We do mercy, we love mercy because God is merciful. Yeah. And we walk humbly with him because he's humble. Mm. He's humble and he wants to share with us his nature. That right understanding. It's not nothing slavish about it. Jesus wrapped the apron round himself. He said he knew who he was. He knew all about who he was. Yeah. He knew where he was going. He knew full well who he was. He was secure.
Yeah.
The son. You know, we are sons and daughters of the living God. Mm. We are absolutely secure. You know, in his sight, we're loved and cherished. We can serve. We can do some dirty work. You know, some lowly work. It's not going to harm us. We can take the lower seat. We can do it. We can use we can spend ourselves for the good of other people. We can do that, and it will be a joy. You know, because we'll be partaking in God's nature. Here's the message. He's already made it plain how to live, what to do. What God is looking for in men and women is quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbour. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And for the humility, don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously.
Yeah.
Pray. Oh Lord, we praise you, we love you, we're grateful to you that you're sharing with us your very nature. Nature that is all good, that is love. God is love. Sharing yourself with us. Thank you, Lord, that you are shaping us. You're the potter, we're the clay. Thank you, Lord, that you're creating in us a heart that is humble, lowly, and gentle, and patient, and joyful. Mm. A heart, Lord, that dances with joy. Thank you, Lord, that we're here in the middle of the process. Mm. Just looking forward, Lord, to all the new things that you're going to be teaching us over the next, for the course of our lives. Amen.
Amen. Amen.